It's time for, once again, for the only show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul, you ought to be running a train station. I mean, that's right on the dot.
We nailed it tonight here. I'm ready.
Well, welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. And our topic for today is, are you a great coach? Now, you could put anything else in there besides coach, but I'm going to use the word coach. But you can put in, am I a great radio announcer? Am I a great dad? Am I a great mother? Anyhow, most of us would respond to that kind of a question by saying, well, I'm really a good coach or whatever. And I ask, why is it that we're reluctant to embrace the idea that we're great? What is it that we think we are lacking in order to be great? So I want you to listen in as we explore your greatness and show you how to use it to attract clients and feel more satisfied with what you're already doing in your coaching. Well, before we start out, let me just say that if you're listening to our podcast, where were you when we broadcast live on Thursday afternoon? But hey, thanks for visiting either our website or gefeller.podbean.com. While you're there, be sure to check out our archives for some of our past shows with great guests and interesting topics. And speaking of guests, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, HR professionals, anyone who can add to our knowledge base and help us become more successful, more satisfied with what you're doing. If you're interested in being on the air with me, just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, I hope you are going to enjoy today's show. You know, we have been coaching here in Orange County for going on 20 years now under the banner of The Coaching Perspective. Our work is mostly business-oriented coaching. We do a lot of work with teams. We work with CEOs. We work with small startup businesses. We work with large international companies. Just about anybody that is looking to make a change and willing to put in the effort and the time to see that it happens. Well, if you saw the newsletter today, you kind of saw what I just said. We're going to talk about, are you a great coach? So why are we reluctant to use this term? You know, the term greatness, you know, we tend to substitute it with good or I'm experienced, but we seldom use the word great. This term, great or greatness, has been tracking me personally for about a month. It's shown up in the management books that I've been reading. It's shown up in my men's Bible study group, and it keeps showing up in multiple coaching conversations. All of that caused me to kind of look at the current literature and look at my own feelings and decide to share that with you today. And it sounds like, from the research I've been doing, that I'm not the only one that's intrigued with this or even bothered by this. So let's just jump right in. You know, most of us want to do something with our lives or our careers. We crave significance or influence and having an impact. We read books and watch movies about great people or great events. And it's said that as a society, we're desperate for heroes. You know, anything other than the ordinary will do for me today. Please just serve it up. We want to be recognized as great, too, besides just doing great work. I hear you saying, no, not me. But really, doesn't it make you feel good when someone says you're great at what you do? Tony Evans says that I realize that it may seem to fly in the face of what you've heard as a call to be meek and humble and a servant of all. But authentic greatness never negates any of those characteristics. He says, in fact, authentic greatness includes the true definition of all of them. He goes on to say, true greatness is outward focused and others driven. It is not dominance, but rather dominion that benefits those around you. Greatness is not just a position or a title, but it's how that position or title plays out in conjunction with the overall goal. In other words, your greatness ought to be making the lives within your sphere of influence better, not worse. Man, those are words that really kind of resonated with me. greatness is outward focused and others driven. Is that not the very essence of what we do as coaches? You know, and let me be clear when I use the term coaches. I want to get this out on the table right away before you change the station. I'm not just referring to those of you who are credentialed or are earning a living through a coaching practice. When I say coaches or coaching, I'm referring to the coaching we all do as parents, coworkers, neighbors, managers, and friends. To me, coaching is a form of communication, and at its best, it is all about helping the other person, and therefore we're all coaches. Some of us full-time, some of us part-time. You know, since we're talking about definition, let's talk about what I mean by the term great or greatness. To me, great is a personal attribute, not a contest. What I mean is that it's not about how we do something compared to how someone else does it. It is really all about utilizing our own potential to the fullest. You know, that seems like an easy statement to understand, but I think it's at the very heart of, at least subconsciously, what hangs up most of us when we use the term greatness. And why am I saying it's so important for us to use the term greatness? I'm not saying you have to go out and have a billboard. I'm not saying you need to call up OC Talk Radio and tell them you want a weekly hour show saying how great you are. That would be fine. Our producer's waving his hand that, yes, call. He wants me to give you the number. What I'm saying is that you feel better inside yourself. You perform better, and you are less stressed when you are in the groove, when you're in the flow, when you are feeling like you are doing great work. So it's all about utilizing our own potential to its fullest. And, you know, the best example of this may be the Special Olympics. You know, haven't you heard the spectators at these events cheering the contestants on and saying, great job or great performance? And yet none of them were setting world records. What the crowd was recognizing was individuals doing great by doing the best that they could with what they had to work with. And, you know, even the people that finished last in any of the races, they had a smile on their face. They felt good about themselves because they did the best that they could do. And that's all we can ask of ourselves or all we can ask of others. So how did those participants feel at the end? To them, it was not all, okay, maybe a little, about beating someone else, but about doing their best, turning in a great effort. Now, I have to say, and this is not a universal example, but unfortunately, it's more common than I like. I have to say that the worst example of this is probably Little League anything, baseball, football, whatever you want to call it, where the parents and the coaches have lost sight of honoring individual greatness, people doing the best that they can do. They've lost sight of that in exchange for winning the game. Come on, parents and coaches. It's about making the lives of the kids better, not worse. And if we can also win the game, okay. But don't lose sight of the primary purpose. Again, let me quote Tony Evans. He says that the greatest player on any team is the player who makes certain that his or her contribution best fits within the goals and strategies of the team. That doesn't mean that he or she can't stand out. It simply means that whatever he or she does must be done in concert with and in service of the great good. Again, greatness is not just a position or a title, but it's how that position or title plays out in conjunction with the overall goal. And let me clarify here. We're not just talking sports. That's a sporting example. We're talking life. And frankly, corporate America can rival Little League for bad examples of dealing with greatness any day of the week. You know, for me, a good day of coaching is when I help someone. But a great day of coaching is when I help them help themselves. Great coaching is about the client's success, whatever they have defined that to be, and not about how I coach them. You know, and I hesitate to use the word success at all in this context because as soon as we start talking about success, we start talking about metrics, about financial rewards, about things that are competitive with other people. And I'm not saying that we're not a competitive animal. We are. But I'm saying that the real competition is within ourselves to be and utilize all of the talents and all of the strengths that we have got. You know, at the beginning of this discussion, I said that I would talk about how to use your greatness to attract clients. Well, guess what? We've been talking for 10 minutes now, and how many of you are wondering, what is my greatness? What am I great at? You know, we all have something that we are the best at, not necessarily better than someone else, but something that of all the things we do, and my example is coaching, all of the things that I do in coaching, there is one or two things that work best for me that I'm great at in comparison to the other things that I do. You know, if you can't identify what that is, then, you know, maybe your clients and your friends can point that out to you. For instance, are you the great encourager? Are you the great listener? Are you the great reframer of problems, or the great holder of accountability, or the great, and we could go on and on and on. The point here is, think about it. Even ask others for their opinion if you're having trouble. What is it that you're currently doing that you are doing better than all of the other things that you're doing? That is what you are great at. Now, caution. If when you think about that, you realize that that thing that you are doing better than all the other things you're doing, you still are not doing to your potential. You are not really putting in the effort or putting in the time, then that's not great. You know, I have to say, great is relative to what you are capable of doing. Great is not relative to how the person next to you is doing. Once you've identified what you're great at, then you need to find ways to express this to potential clients and even existing ones. You know, this last week I heard a podcast by Coach Lisa Bloom on storytelling. What a great storyteller she is. Anyhow, she advocated that you craft a story that showcases your greatness. My word, not hers, but it fits. Nothing beats a good story for making a point and for staying with a person long after the telling of the story itself. You know, we can talk about great movies. We can talk about great books. We can talk about TV shows. We can talk about songs. We can talk about all of those things, books, magazines, movies, records. And as soon as we start talking to people about them, they start to finish the sentences, or they go, oh, I remember that scene. That was a great scene. I loved it. That was a great battle, or it was a great love story, or it had a great ending. Stories stay with us so long, it's just unbelievable. So when you're thinking of how do you communicate your coaching to potential clients, I want you to think about storytelling. I want you to think about how you can take that attribute of you that you are great at and craft it into a story that can communicate to a potential client why they might want to use you. Everybody wants to deal with people that are great at something. All stories, and I have to thank our producer, he's worked with me on this before, all stories have three basic parts. He may say four, but I'm going to say three for today. They have a beginning, a middle, and an end. Now, the beginning is where we have to sort of set the scene and we introduce the characters. The middle is where there's a moment of suspense or conflict. And the end is where there's a resolution and the hero comes through. That's what we have to do with our coaching story about our greatness. Your story should show how your coaching greatness helped a client to reach a resolution. you all have stories like this, whether you're a coach or whether you're doing something else. You all have stories about how you had a moment of greatness. I want you to think about those events and think about how to craft it into a story. Now, when you do that, you know, Lisa Bloom gave some great advice. She said, you know, don't get bogged down in the details. Strip it out to the very essence of the story. Don't get too hung up on the literal facts, the absolute truth. It's a story. The essence of the story should be true. But whether it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 3:10 doesn't really make any difference to the story that I'm telling. So don't get hung up because you don't have all the facts right. But think about that story. The setting for the story and the characters should be relevant to the audience that you're telling it to. So, for instance, if I'm making a pitch to a business client, I want to tell a story that's in a business setting. If I'm talking to clients that are in a family setting, it's going to be different. Is it all men or women? Does it deal with children or adults? Just like you would prepare to go give a speech as a keynote speaker at a big conference, you would first ask the person who asked you to speak, tell me a little bit about the people who are going to be there so that my pitch, my talk, they can relate to it. That's what we're talking about in your story. Crafting that story of greatness. You know, it doesn't take a long time to talk about this, and I'm not going to beat it to death. I'm just about through with this topic, but through with it in the sense that I don't know what else to say about it. It is easy to talk about. It is very difficult to do. I was working and studying on this issue of greatness with a group of men, actually a Bible study. And one of the men challenged us, said, next week when we meet, let's all come back and share a moment of greatness that we had during the week. Great. Sounds good. All week long, I kept thinking every day, okay, what did I do today that was great that I can share at the end of the week with the group? Nothing today. Okay, next day. What did I do? Well, you know, we're getting towards the end of the week. Now I'm starting to think first thing in the morning, what can I do today that's going to be great that I can share? You know, when we had the meeting and we called for, okay, who would like to share what they did this week that was great? There was a long silence. I know these guys well. The silence was not because they didn't do anything great. The silence was because we are so hung up on not acknowledging what we are great at. We think that we need to be humble and meek. We think that it's wrong to identify something as being great. I'm not saying you have to run around and tell everybody about it, but when you can't even tell your closest friends, when you can't even tell yourself, what did I do today that was great? So I encourage you to spend some time on this issue and really think about what it is you are great at, what it is that you are doing to the fullest of your capability in your coaching practice or in your business, and how can you craft a story around that that will be memorable, that you can use to talk to prospective clients, that you can use to talk to existing clients who maybe have forgotten how great you are. That's what I encourage you to do over this next week. Well, let me change topics here for a minute. I thought today that I would try to do our show a little different. You know, the TED Talks that have been so popular have really made an impact on most of us, to the point where when somebody says, I'd like you to talk for 40 minutes or an hour, we go, hey, people don't listen that long. So we're through with great. That's 20 minutes. We're going to go on to the next topic. And I want to just take a few minutes here today to talk about the Coaching Alliance or reviews. Now, what is an alliance? An alliance is where two people or more have agreed on how they're going to do something together. An alliance may be between countries. It may be between diplomats. It may be between friends. It may be between team members. In our case, as coaches, when we start a coaching engagement, we design the alliance with the client so that they know what to expect from the coaching engagement, that they've agreed that the rules and the way we're going to work together is okay with them. And if it isn't, we get that on the table right at the very beginning and we redesign the alliance. So let's be clear. A coaching alliance is not a static thing that is the same for every single client that you work with. It is designed. You may have basic points that you want to cover, basic issues, but it is designed to meet the unique needs of the client and the problems that that client wants you to work with them on. So the issue of designing an alliance with your clients at the start of the coaching engagement, definitely one that we've covered in the past. You can go back to our podcast and you can hear more about that. However, what I want to talk about or spend a few moments talking about is the alliance when it involves at least two parties and the coach. So it's at least three people involved, the coach and two other people. You know, for me, this is usually HR who has hired me and the individual to be coached, or it could be the manager, senior executive who has hired me, and his subordinate or the individual that he wants to be coached. If you're doing life coaching, maybe it's the parent who wants you to coach the child, okay? So the first question is, when you're in this kind of a three-way coaching relationship, who's the client in these situations? You know, for a long time I thought, well, the client is the person I'm coaching. And then I got to thinking, well, maybe the client is the person who's paying the bills. You know, after a lot of years of doing this, I've sort of resolved in my mind that the client is both of the other parties. They just have different roles and need to be identified and treated differently in our alliance. This means, since they're both my client, that I have an obligation to hold confidentiality for both of them. This is easier said than done. It is by nature difficult to listen to two people talk about maybe one another and then get together with them and not reveal anything that they've said to you confidentially in an individual session that you had with them. But that's what coaching is all about, okay? It's about the idea, the alliance is about the idea of knowing what our expectations are, you know? And the question from the individual paying but not being coached that I always get is, they always say, well, okay, Doug, sounds great. Let's start coaching XYZ. But how am I going to know that it's working? Are you going to give me a report? I go, no, I'm not going to give you a report. Well, then how will I know that the coaching is working? Now, my old response, which I have determined is really not adequate anymore, my old response was, well, we've talked about what I'm going to coach this person on, and if you don't see a change in that behavior, a change in that area, then you know that it's not working and that the coaching is a waste of your time and money. And that's all? I go, well, you know, if they don't show up or if they're not really working at it, I'm going to let you know that I think the coaching should be stopped. But frankly, for most, especially in a business environment, for most business executives, they're going, you know, I hire a lot of consultants and very few of them tell me just hang on for the ride, which is kind of what you're saying. You know, I think that coaching has reached the point where client expectations are very high. And client engagements are lasting much longer than they used to. In my case, sometimes for years. So how do we ensure that the client is getting what they want? I think we start by including all three of us. It could be more, but all three of us, the person paying, HR, or the senior manager, and the person that I'm going to coach. We have a meeting to start off the coaching, not separate meetings. Maybe I talk to them separately. I usually do because I get a little more information that way. And then I get them back together And I go, okay, now here's my understanding of what you're asking the coaching to involve. This is what your expectations are. And I make sure that everybody is buying into this. So here's what typically happens. The manager has identified four or five things that this subordinate of his needs to change, and he wants me to coach him on those. Now, in this session of designing the alliance with them, if the subordinate says, hey, wait a minute, time out. I'm not doing anything wrong in two of those areas. I'm perfect. I'm great. This is your problem, not mine. We need to stop. We cannot go forward with the coaching in a situation where the where either one of the clients, as I'm defining them, where either one of the clients is not wholeheartedly in agreement that this needs to be addressed. So what happens? Frankly, this is the first coaching session. This session involves me coaching them to get agreement on what they need to be coached on, especially in cases where you're dealing with people that are not familiar with using a coach. So you need to start out by getting it really clear, by making sure that they're all in agreement on what we're going to focus the coaching on. And then we set up periodic review points where we would get back together as a group to evaluate how the coaching is progressing and to see if there's any realignment that's needed in the coaching goals. Obviously, one of these review points is at the end of the coaching. Now, let me just say, it is pretty typical for me in a business situation that when the coaching ends, somebody calls me up or somebody says in a coaching session, we've done what we needed to do. This is our last session. Thanks, Doug. It was just great. Love it. We're all through coaching. So stop billing me as of today is the underlying message that they are communicating to me. My response is, we are going to have one more session. I don't care whether I bill you for it or not, but we are going to have a final session. And in this example that I'm using here, we're going to have a final session with the three of us where we're going to sit down and talk about what we said we were going to do, what we actually did do, and how that worked for us. Now, why do I want to do this? One is, I think too many times things in coaching, you know, you're hired to coach on one or two, three or four things. And if the coaching engagement goes on for a while, you probably have 10 things that are hanging in the air out there that you're coaching in. And okay, in a business setting, we finish the key things that the coach was hired to work with you on. We're ending it, but there's still these other things hanging out there. I'm uncomfortable walking away from a client with that open-ended coaching that hasn't been brought to a close. Not that we have to keep coaching, but that we have to identify what is it that hasn't been completed, where is it, and what is it you are going to do about it, and then we're done. So you need that final alliance to do it. Now, the review points are also extremely critical because many times, you know, as a coach, sometimes I'm involved in situations where I'm coaching the client and I'm getting an impression from the client of how well the coaching is going, of what the behavioral changes are, of how they're improving or changing in the areas that they've identified. But I don't get to see them sometimes in action. Do you think they ever might portray a report of how things are going that might not be the same as other people that are working with them? Absolutely. Do they do this deliberately? I don't really think so. But hey, the way I think I'm coming across might not be the way you see me coming across. So the review point where you bring in their boss, the person that hired you, where you bring that person in to sit down and talk about how is it going, not waiting till the last session, but this is progress reviews. How is it going? Now, This gets to be a little tricky. You know, I've frequently been called in by HR, and I'm coaching senior executives, and HR may report to the senior executives. That's a difficult meeting to sit and have with the head of HR and the senior executive as to how they felt it was going, you know, and whether it wasn't going that well. That doesn't mean it can't be done. It just means it's not easy. I think that these review points, this is frankly some of what I'm sharing with you today, is an evolution that I've come to with my coaching. It isn't the way I started out. It isn't the way I've always done it. But I've come to realize that it needs to be the way that I always do it going forward. For one thing, let's go back to greatness. I'd like to hear the client's opinion on a review point meeting on how the coaching is going. Sometimes we're so caught up in the issues that we're coaching on that we never get feedback from how it's going. I'm fortunate. I've got a lot of great clients that are very vocal about telling me, boy, Doug, this is great. I couldn't have done it last month without you. Gee, Doug, this year's earnings are a direct reflection of some of the coaching that you've done for me. And I've got other clients that I never hear any of that. Would I like some feedback? Absolutely. The review point gives me some feedback. Am I looking that for that just to pat myself on the back? Well, it doesn't hurt. But what I'm looking for is constructive feedback. I'm looking the same way the client may be misinterpreting how he's behaving outside the coaching session. I may be misinterpreting how I'm coming through to the client in the coaching session. So two things we've talked about today. The last was the coaching alliance or review points when you're dealing with multiple clients, as I've defined them, dealing with a entity that is paying you and a person that is the coachee, the person that you are coaching. And we've talked about greatness. Are you a great coach? Do you know what it is that you do that is great? And have you crafted a story that you can use to communicate with people about what you do? So I don't want to run into you someplace in Orange County at some networking event and hear you when somebody says, what do you do? I don't want to hear you start to explain how you coach, what coaching is. I want to hear your personal story of what you've done that has been great for somebody. What you've done that exhibits and displays. I want a story that grabs me with the situation, takes me through the suspenseful moments, and ends with a great resolution that makes me want to hire you as my coach. So that's what we're talking about today. I'm glad you tuned in. I hope that this has been helpful to you. I hope that you can take this information and that you can use it and go forward, go out there, work on your storytelling. If you have some difficulty storytelling yourself, then get someone to help you. It's not an easy thing to do, but hey, it isn't something that's going to take you a year to do. Any work you put into it can be done quickly. One moment, my producer's waving at me.
I'm compelled to come from behind the curtain and speak here.
Here we go.
This has been
the wizard.
I pull the curtain back, and I just had to say how powerful that was to listen to, particularly because we've done a variety of shows today out of this station. And several of them, strangely enough, have had to do with storytelling. The power of storytelling. One company was on earlier, and they call it story selling instead of storytelling. And somebody was on, you'll like this, I'll let you throw this out. I haven't even looked it up yet. There's a new app coming out just for iPad, and it's specifically about how to tell your story. It's more visual than verbal, I understand. But it has a variety of tools that you can simply and easily tell your personal story. It's called Venta, V-E-N-T-A, and it's an app, a new app that's coming out on iPad specifically to help people tell their story. How about that?
Great, Paul. Timely. Thank you very much for sharing that with us.
Had to throw that in there.
Good. It's nice to know that you're really awake behind the curtain.
Well, you know.
So thank you very much for listening today. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Hope the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug DeFeller.